This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump eager to celebrate the passage of his big spending bill on this 4th of July. There will be a signing ceremony at the White House today that includes military flyovers. On the tarmac next to Air Force One last night, the president said some countries will have to start paying those higher tariffs as the July 9th deadline approaches.
We're going to start sending letters out to various countries starting tomorrow. We'll probably have 10 or 12 go out tomorrow. And over the next few days, I think by the 9th, they'll be fully covered.
100,000 customers without power today in the Northeast following severe storms that affected holiday travel. Three people were killed in New Jersey, including one woman who had a tree fall on her car. The man accused of murdering a Minnesota politician and her husband has appeared in a federal court. Vance Bolter did not enter a plea. The next step will be a grand jury meeting and then handing up an indictment, which could happen within the next 10 days. This is ABC News.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Barr. If you're spending more time outside this holiday weekend, experts are warning about a new breed of tick and the bizarre allergy it can spread with just one bite. It's known as the Lone Star tick, and the bug is finding its way to Wisconsin from the southeast part of the country. Doctors with Mayo Clinic say they're already starting to see more patients with what's known as alpha-gal syndrome. It's an allergy to red meat after being bit by this type of tick. And these ticks aren't just in the woods.
You go back 30 years ago and you'd think of, a hunter, an avid hiker out in the woods. Now we're starting to see ticks pop up sometimes in backyards in suburban areas and stuff like that. And that's a concern.
PJ Leash is an entomologist at the UW Insect Diagnostic Lab. And though this new tick is spreading, he still considers Lyme disease from a deer tick the bigger concern. Leash also suggests using insect spray, wearing long sleeves and pants, and always checking for ticks after spending time outside. Are you noticing farmers spending more time outside working in the fields? The weather in some parts of the state is challenging and may not mean all the corn crops are knee-high by the 4th of July. The latest crop report shows farmers across Wisconsin had just 3.5 days with workable conditions during the last week. And did you know our state is ranked second for having the most organic farms in the country? Officials with Naturally Wisconsin and the Food Finance Institute are starting a new program to support those efforts and say there's also growing consumer demand for natural, healthy, and sustainable products. The group's already working with more than 800 food-focused entrepreneurs from all across the state. You can find more news anytime at civicmedia.us. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Brewers and the Marlins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers face the Marlins tonight at Lone Depot Park. Last night, the Brewers lost by just a run, 3-2 to the Mets. Jose Quintana taking the loss against his former team by giving up a single to Juan Soto that gave the Mets the lead. How disappointing was this loss? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I'm always disappointed when we lose, and especially when it comes down to inches here or there, or comes down to pitches, or comes down to, you know, a close call or whatever. I mean, it seems like, yeah, sometimes you got to just win by more than that.
What do you think of Quintana overall?
I thought he was great. Yeah. He was great. It's the best outing I've seen him have probably since I was on the other side of the field.
Basketball. At least three NBA teams showing interest in Damian Lillard after being released by the Bucks and becoming a free agent. CBS Sports says the Celtics, Lakers, and Golden State Warriors all interested in Lillard when he recovers from that torn Achilles tendon. With Sports, on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be sunny and hot today. Our high right around 93 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. Good night for fireworks. We'll drop to 74 for a low. Tomorrow, breezy, mostly cloudy. Scattered thunderstorms with a high in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had some, I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Jay, Matt, Nair, and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, happy 4th of July. We have a specially curated Matt Nair on air for you, but Free Ticket Fridays is happening. I hope you'll join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back, Up North, 8:06 on this holiday edition, the best of Mornings, powered by Up North News. Not really live from Lake Wissota. Don't tell the bosses they are. They're very worried about all of this becoming automated and impersonal, and at that rate, why not have AI do the show? Though when you think about it, a lot of the intelligence you hear from some folks appears to be artificial these days, so why not have artificial intelligence take a stab at my job, right? I, for one, welcome our robot overlords, if they're listening. Anyway, coming up, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area with a conversation about Wisconsin values. But first, it's Friday, so it's Free Ticket Friday, where Civic Media, in a statewide contest, has four tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers next Friday against the Washington Nationals if you are the winner this Friday. Here's what you do. Get that Civic Media app. I know by now you have downloaded this. This has got to be old hat by now, right? And you just pop up one of the radio stations, and you use the text feature to send a text message. But the text message you're going to send is just a single word, a keyword, and this word is good until the end of the show, until 9 o'clock. And in this statewide contest, one entrant will be pulled, and they will win four tickets to next Friday's Milwaukee Brewers game at American Family Field. Okay, enough buildup. What's the word, Pat? Here's the word. Holiday. Holiday. H-O-L-I-D-A-Y. Like the Independence Day holiday that we are experiencing. Text holiday through the Civic Media app. You are in the running for Milwaukee Brewers tickets as part of our Free Ticket Friday. Okay, before Dan Schaefer, let's talk polkas. You see, I was contemplating a trip to Summerfest this weekend. I'll let you know Monday if I made it down there or not. But this past Monday, when we visited with John and Gordy from our Civic Media Madison station, we got to talking about a local polka show, a polka band, and it reminded me of a polka milestone from my own wedding with Sherry 39 years ago tomorrow. If there's one other act I have to go find someplace, it's somebody named Tuba Dan?
Tuba Dan.
This is a radio show.
Oh, okay.
On the Civic Media Radio Network. And what's the station, John? This is the Rippin station.
RPN. Okay.
Yes.
RPN, yeah. And he's on the weekend, I believe. Wait.
Yeah,
every 7 to 9 a.m. on Saturday.
Yes.
And he plays, obviously, he loves tuba. So every polka song has a tuba in it. Not all of them do. But on his show, he's found them all.
It's a great show, yeah. I got to say. I you know, not a big fan of polkas, but the show is really wonderful. Yeah. And he's got a sidekick, Corky, and Tuba Dan. Yep. And Corky, they explore the world of polka music in Wisconsin, and it's just excellent. It really is.
You know, of all the things that show off our age, my age, is that now Sherry and I were about to this week have our 39th anniversary. So when we got married in 1986, that is still our reception is still the last reception that we went to with a polka band, not a band that played polka music. It was all polkas all night,
all the time.
When we grew up, that was not out of the ordinary. Is that a wedding reception, you know, especially in the Manitowoc area or, you know, out in Minnesota where I'm from. But since that time, polka bands at a wedding reception, I've never been to one after ours. Let's check out some polling. And I know I've mentioned a few times, I'm not a big polling fan when it comes to election time, you know, that horse race stuff. I'd rather get into what do the candidates, you know, stand for, what do they say and all that. This is more about positions. Both the Marquette Law School poll and Quinnipiac University have done some polling on various issues that are out there. Now, I do know that there's been talk about the 55% of respondents who say they don't want Governor Tony Evers to run for a third term. But again, that's quite split by party. Among Democrats, 83% think he should run for a third term. And frankly, Scott Walker had less Republican support for a third term back in 2018. Now, 2/3 of voters in the survey said marijuana should be made legal in Wisconsin. That support typically has hovered in the mid-60% range. There's also support for a good-sized tax cut in the budget, although I think this is interesting. We usually talk about Wisconsin being divided in half, right and left. What to do with the surplus is your classic, we're divided evenly into thirds. I mean, seriously, like about 1/3 each want to do one of three different things. 1/3 want nearly all of it returned through tax cuts. Another 1/3, probably on the Democratic side, wanted very little in tax cuts, put it into schools and roads and things like that. And then about 1/3 of them wanted half and half. So there you go with a $4 billion surplus. Again, there's ways to get a win-win out of this. The Joint Finance Committee is going to be meeting today in a marathon session. And then it sounds like one house, maybe the assembly, will try to pass the budget on Monday and the Senate on Tuesday, something like that. Why are they suddenly passing it? Why are they suddenly interested? Because of that Supreme Court decision the other day that says Republicans can really micromanage some of the money. They can create a slush fund in the Joint Finance Committee to hide some of the money. So Republicans are now in a hurry, based on that court decision, to pass a budget up to, you know, the way that they want it. And then the pressure goes on Governor Evers to either go along with it because there was enough compromise or to veto the whole thing if he can't fix it with partial vetoes. And, you know, my guess is that if he vetoes the whole thing, Republicans won't start over. They'll say, fine, we just won't have a new budget at all. The old budget will carry over, which I think has some political risks in it. But that's Wisconsin politics for you. There is bipartisan interest in allowing citizens to bring forward ballot questions if you collect enough signatures on petitions. About half the states have that, but Wisconsin is not one of them, where you can have a citizen-led statewide referendum. 2/3 support postpartum Medicaid expansion. Again, 2 out of 3 people support expanding postpartum Medicaid coverage for new moms from 60 days to a full year. Wisconsin is now one of only 2 states that doesn't do that. Nearly 90% of people surveyed by the Marquette poll support banning cell phones in classrooms. I can't believe that we're even still talking about this, but yes, we are. Meanwhile, over in the Quinnipiac poll, there has been a real swing of public opinion when it comes to undocumented immigrants. About 6 months ago, about 55% of voters said they supported giving most undocumented immigrants a pathway to legal status. That has now shot up to nearly 2/3 of voters support giving undocumented immigrants a pathway to legal status as opposed to just deportation. In other words, Americans have seen what the Trump administration is doing with secret police and raiding on people who have not violated the law at all. and who are playing a role in society. And this is what they think of it. Trump's approval numbers are down as a result as well. But here's the one that really gets me the most. Given a list of 9 issues and asked which is the most urgent one facing the country today, the number one issue right now is preserving democracy in the United States. Now, all throughout last year, Democrats tried to say that, and they were constantly told people do not care about democracy. They care about inflation. They care about healthcare. Don't talk about preserving democracy. It's a non-starter. Now, all of a sudden, people are interested in preserving democracy. In other words, we told you so. We told you that this was coming, that this is the clear and present danger that Donald Trump is posing and continues to prove it every single day. I'm glad Americans are now paying attention and concerned about it. Wish it had been this way last year. I do like the way that Dan Schaefer framed the new Marquette poll, because it talked about a lot of different issues. Now, again, it's not election time, so this wasn't any kind of candidate polling or anything like that. It was just about various issues, some that the legislature is considering right now, some things that are before Congress. There are things like, you know, Medicaid expansion for new moms and things like that. And here's how Dan Schaefer put it. In a deeply polarized 50-50 state, which issues do more than 65% of Wisconsin voters agree on? Again, here's the question. In this deeply polarized 50-50 state, which issues do more than 65% of Wisconsin voters agree on? And his answer? It's almost all that are policies that are backed by Democrats, such as Medicaid for new moms. 66% favor legislation that would extend coverage for Medicaid for new moms to a full year after giving birth. There's marijuana legalization. 67% say marijuana should be legalized, including, by the way, 44% of Republicans and 79% of independents. And then there's increased special education funding. 71% of voters say they would favor a major increase in state aid for special education funding for public schools. There's mental health services in schools. 75% of voters favor a proposal to provide comprehensive mental health services in schools statewide. To this point, Republicans in the legislature not only did not go along with Governor Evers' proposed increase, but have proposed decreases in mental health services. Allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, 77% of voters say Wisconsin should adopt a citizen's initiative to put issues on the ballot. So again, on all of the top issues, when you look just at issues, not candidates, not party labels, anything like that, you see where folks are. It's just a matter of trying to remind them who is on their side on the ballot when it comes to these issues. All right, let's take care of some housekeeping. On the Courier Newsroom side, Courier being the parent company of Up North News, of course I'm going to talk about our newsletters, and you can subscribe to them by heading over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up there in the top banner. However, from our parent company, there are other newsletters and other podcasts that I'd love to have you become a subscriber to. Let's talk, for example, about a weekly newsletter called American Freak Show by Nina Burley that keeps an eye on MAGA extremism and its absurdity. And this week, the Great Mamdani Freakout. You see, it didn't take long after the New York City mayoral primary for this famous hedge fund guy to write that he is, quote, gravely concerned about the city. And he would basically pull an Elon Musk for the left and support someone other than the Democratic nominee, Zoran Mamdani. Well, Nina Burley asks in American Freak Show, what disorder afflicts a billionaire with a net worth of $9 billion that he is so concerned about people getting free bus rides and decent housing? For more, subscribe to American Freak Show over at the Courier Newsroom website. From the heart of America's up north on Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The website climate.gov is no more. The site that served as a trusted resource for federal research on climate change has been officially shut down a month after its staff was fired by the Trump administration. When it was online, climate.gov received hundreds of thousands of visitors every month. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says climate information will be housed elsewhere on its website. $16 million in state funding could soon be on the way to help farmers improve water quality in rural Wisconsin. The Joint Committee on Finance recently committed the funding for a host of environmentally-minded farm programs after months of work from Clean Wisconsin and its partners. The funding still needs to be passed by the full legislature and signed into law by Governor Evers. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I'm very thankful that Melissa Baldoff is willing to come in here once a week and talk about climate issues. It's a subject near and dear to her heart, but she wears many hats as a consultant, as a political strategist, and more. And so we're probably going to spend more time in this segment on a couple of other matters. Melissa is going to help us first deal with the new budget deal right after we talk about the breaking news of the state Supreme Court throwing out the 1849 law that some had considered to be an abortion ban. Melissa, good morning. What's your take on the state Supreme Court throwing that 1849 law out, kicking it to the curb?
Good morning. It is a good morning. And, you know, this is exactly what, you know, I think so many people wanted to see happen, was a fair and impartial court invalidating a law that, you know, is almost 200 years old and really impacted the rights of women to make our own healthcare decisions. And it is just an incredible win for the people of this state to have women's rights and freedoms restored by this court.
Yeah, folks that want to start their own theocracy can do it, you know, someplace else. Because right here, every election matters. And yes, we live in a time where the next election is always the most important election. The one that switched control of this state Supreme Court was the most important election of its time. Prior to that, the re-election of Governor Tony Evers was the most important election of its time, which takes us to our next subject, the new state budget deal. Governor Evers worked it out with Republicans who control the legislature. It will be a very bipartisan vote in the Assembly and the Senate, with Democrats voting yes and no, Republicans voting yes and no, and people having very strong feelings on depending on what end of the spectrum they're coming from. And I'm not saying all that to say that this is a good deal, Melissa, but again, if Tony Evers had not won election, you know, the way this would look under a Governor Tim Michaels administration is a hell of a lot different.
It absolutely is. And, you know, this isn't the budget that the governor wanted. The budget the governor wanted is the one he proposed. But this is, I think, this is a very good deal considering what the alternative was. So, you know, I think that they are correct to, hold the line for themselves and for their constituents, and to draw the contrast of, you know, what is going to be in the state budget and what could be and should be in the state budget. And they'll really have a chance to demonstrate that when Democrats are in the majority in, you know, a couple years here with the budget. That's the goal. That's what we think is going to happen. Democrats taking back the Senate and an incredibly good chance to take back the Assembly. And the budget that will pass in 2 years because of that is going to look a whole lot different than this one. And it's going to be a whole lot better for the people of this state. So I think this was, you know, the right choice, even though it's a very difficult one. But Governor Evers has proven time and time again that he is willing to make the difficult choices that need to happen.
We're talking to Melissa Baldoff, and we've covered the legislative matters, the court matters. Now let's get to something that really matters: happy cows and the.
Which I've got to just say, I still take a lot of issue with the whole marketing campaign of happy cows come from California.
Oh yeah,
from years past. Bold. I mean, it's
that's
just
bold offensive. Pun intended, by the way. So yeah, that's we know where the happy cows are, and
that's right,
and they're up here. The story actually comes out of Morris, Minnesota, a University of Minnesota campus out there. But for all of the caterwauling about solar farms that says, well, the crops won't be able to grow now and cattle won't be able to graze now, I was always a little dubious of that because, like anything else, you know, you pick your shot. You use what is best for the land if you can. But if you can use a little creativity, then so much the better. And the story out of Minnesota is all about how a solar array, a whole bunch of solar panels, are put on top of basically an electric-powered vehicle, a tractor, a truck, whatever the case may be, that slowly moves along the field so that the cows can graze in the shade underneath the panels. I don't know if I have a particular climate question here. I'm just here to salute good old American ingenuity for getting the best of both worlds.
Yeah, this is such a cool story. I loved when you sent me this. I mean, talk about innovation. And like you said, using what you have. So this is, I think, just incredible to see the fact that, you know, we know that we have seen so many farmers and producers and folks in the ag industry be incredibly committed to climate solutions. And it is just great to see that, you know, you can do both things, right? Two things can be true at the same time, as my husband Joseph Pecky likes to say quite often. And that is that we can do right by the planet and continue doing business in a way that is going to be productive and beneficial. So, you know, I think this is a great example of that. And I hope to see, you know, more. I hope to see some farms in Wisconsin employing this approach, because it seems really neat.
I've never been able to ask Melissa a personal question like this, but she has opened up the door for it. Tell me that Joseph Pecky has used that saying during discussions between the two of you to say, well, two things can be true at once. I didn't do the dishes and I was very busy today.
No. So he definitely uses it in personal conversation with me and with the kids, but not to get out of his share of
the
household chores.
All right. Melissa Baldoff with our climate check and much more. Thanks, Melissa. Have a great 4th.
Thanks. You too.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Barr. If you're spending more time outside this holiday weekend, experts are warning about a new breed of tick and the bizarre allergy it can spread with just one bite. It's known as the Lone Star tick, and the bug is finding its way to Wisconsin from the southeast part of the country. Doctors with Mayo Clinic say they're already starting to see more patients with what's known as alpha-gal syndrome. It's an allergy to red meat after being bit by this type of tick. And these ticks aren't just in the woods.
You go back 30 years ago and you'd think of, a hunter, an avid hiker out in the woods. Now we're starting to see ticks pop up sometimes in backyards in suburban areas and stuff like that. And that's a concern.
PJ Leash is an entomologist at the UW Insect Diagnostic Lab. And though this new tick is spreading, he still considers Lyme disease from a deer tick the bigger concern. Leash also suggests using insect spray, wearing long sleeves and pants, and always checking for ticks after spending time outside. Are you noticing farmers spending more time outside working in the fields? The weather in some parts of the state is challenging and may not mean all the corn crops are knee-high by the 4th of July. The latest crop report shows farmers across Wisconsin had just 3.5 days with workable conditions during the last week. And did you know our state is ranked second for having the most organic farms in the country? Officials with Naturally Wisconsin and the Food Finance Institute are starting a new program to support those efforts and say there's also growing consumer demand for natural, healthy, and sustainable products. The group's already working with more than 800 food-focused entrepreneurs from all across the state. You can find more news anytime at civicmedia.us. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Big Brother Season 27 is about to drop, but there is an exciting new twist, according to the people who created said twist. Variety says three contestants from previous seasons will drop by every Friday night to analyze the sitch. Other highlights for this coming season will include a mystery hotel theme and a living room with chess guardians, whatever that means. Season 27 of Big Brother drops July 10th on CBS. In other Season 27 news, the creators of South Park are not happy about the delay in their latest season reaching viewers. Trey Parker and Matt Stone are blaming the Paramount merger with Skydance for the long wait between seasons. Season 26 finished 2 years ago. A recent update was that the new season would drop July 9, but that has been pushed back again to July 27. Just guessing, we will see Parker and Stone's frustration with the networks in a South Park episode in the near future. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
It is going to be sunny and hot today. Our high right around 93 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. Good night for fireworks. We'll drop to 74 for a low. Tomorrow, breezy, mostly cloudy. Scattered thunderstorms with a high in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a special Independence Day edition of the show featuring some of our tours around what makes Wisconsin great and free brewer tickets to give away. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. We're going to talk to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward in just a second here. First, a reminder that next week's guests include Sandra Goldshine from the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy. They've put together a storybook with real Americans, including those in Wisconsin, who are going to be harmed by this Trump budget, from mothers who rely on Medicaid to access comprehensive care for their disabled children, to school psychologists who worry about the future of SNAP as they watch the line for free school meals extend outdoors, all painting a picture of unforced suffering and economic anxiety under this Trump budget. Right now, we're going to have a little conversation with Jeff Mandel from Law Forward and talk about what I would, I don't know, you can either call it billionaire bribery or you can call it bribery adjacent campaigning or whatever it is. Jeff Mandel and Law Forward want to make sure that these kinds of practices stay on the up and up or don't happen at all. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
No, it's nice to have you here. Thank you so much. Let's put it in your words instead of mine. Tell us about the lawsuit and the genesis of it and the outcome you hope to get.
Thanks, Pat. The lawsuit is about making sure we continue to have free and fair elections here in Wisconsin and about perpetuating a series of actions that Law Forward has taken to hold accountable those bad actors who try to undermine free and fair elections in Wisconsin. So let's step back to March, to the home stretch of the Supreme Court election that we had here in Wisconsin this past spring, to remind your listeners what happened. In the last 12 days of that election, Elon Musk, the world's richest man, showed up in Wisconsin and started to offer cash incentives for people to vote here in Wisconsin. And first, it was a petition that offered $100 to any registered voter who would sign the petition that very, very closely echoed the campaign themes and messaging of one of the candidates. And then all of a sudden, it was the chance of million-dollar checks to people who had signed the petition and said they'd already voted in the election. And then there was a series of payouts as well in the weekend before the election for people who were knocking on doors and getting photos of voters with the holding campaign material for Musk's preferred candidate and giving a thumbs up or a smile. All of these are efforts to induce people to vote. And in Wisconsin, you cannot give anything that is valued more than $1 to try to induce people to vote. It's against the law.
It sure seemed pretty clear that way. I mean, you can't induce anyone to go to the polls to vote for or to vote at all or to vote for a particular person. You refer to it as a brazen scheme to induce Wisconsinites to vote. And I think that's a generous way to put it. I mean, brazen truly fits what he was trying to get away with.
It's really outrageous. And it's even more outrageous when you put it in the context of some of the things we've seen in Wisconsin over the last few years, including complaints filed by individual candidates or political parties when, say, on campus there was a Get Out the Vote activity that offered ice cream for people who came out to early vote. And they said, well, ice cream is worth more than a dollar. Maybe it is. I mean, I don't know exactly what the details of that program were, but $1 million check is certainly worth more than a dollar. And even the chance to get $1 million check, right? We don't sell lottery tickets in this country for less than a dollar usually. So it really is a brazen scheme. It's brazen in how open and outrageous it is, how contemptuous of the law it is. And we can't let this continue. The day after the election, there was a really distressing article to me in the Washington Post because U.S. Senator from North Carolina, Tom Tillis, who I guess made his own news this past weekend. Yep. But Senator Tillis was asked about this, and his reaction was really just astonishing to me. But what he said in essence was that Elon Musk is a disruptor, and he comes in with new ideas and thinks about things differently than we have before, and we all have to adapt. And so what he said is for the 2026 midterm elections, we should expect to see millionaires of all different political stripes standing up on stages and giving away huge checks. And that's just a horrifying dystopian vision to me. That's not the way we understand or want elections to work in this country. And that was really one of the moments when we decided we had to, even after the election, come in and try to make sure this can't happen again.
Right. I mean, because I mean, you either have that outlook or hear me out here. You don't allow voters to be bribed in one form or another. But now we have to ask the legal thicket question that there was an effort just prior to the election to try to get this practice smacked down, and courts did not go along with it. What is different this time now that the election's in the past? What is different about the lawsuit, the arguments that you're making, that you hope make it more likely a court will formally and finally end practices like these?
It's a great question. I think really the biggest difference is the context and the timing. You know, courts have a tremendous amount of power, but they also, as institutions, are not really built to work quickly. Excuse me. The goal of courts is to arrive at the truth and then to enforce the law based on what it finds about those facts. What you were referencing, Pat, was that in the run-up to the election, there was an effort by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call to put a stop to an event the Sunday evening before the election where Musk handed out two $1 million checks. We had been pushing Attorney General Call to take action and to try to stop this, and we're grateful that he made the effort. But he filed his papers on a Friday afternoon, asking the court to stop something that was happening 48 hours later. And that's really just not in sort of the DNA of our court system to do things quickly over the weekend in exceptional circumstances. The wheels of justice generally grind slowly, and the courts, no court that weekend. Within those 48 hours, Attorney General Call was in the trial court in Wisconsin, in the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, and in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But none of those courts said that he was wrong. None of those courts said that what Musk was doing was okay. What each of those courts said is, we're not willing or able to do this on the schedule you're asking us for. And so what our lawsuit is doing is saying, okay, we'll take you at your word, courts, but now the election is over. Things are calm and settled. We're not in an urgent situation, but we do need to know what the law is and get this clear before the next Wisconsin Supreme Court election, because we can't allow this to happen again. And if you remember at the beginning when I recapped what happened, I said that Musk didn't start these efforts until 12 days before the election. I don't think that's accidental. I think part of what they're trying to do is jam the courts. They're trying to show up and do things right on the edge and do them at such a time that nobody can really stop it. And so we're coming in at this moment and saying, let's put a stop to this.
It's downright diabolical. We're talking to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. It's a legal group that already has a pretty good history of holding some bad actors to account. There was the exposing of the fraudulent electors scheme that was cooked up here in the state. And then there was the complaint against the Office of Lawyer Regulation that held that former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman had made some ethical abuses during his sham investigation into the 2020 election. So, you know, this is a group that does not take things lightly when you're doing these things. So you have filed the lawsuit here against Elon Musk. What's next? How should we expect to see things play out?
Well, as I said, courts move slowly. And so there's going to be a period of time where the defendants here, which is Elon Musk, a political action committee that he founded and runs called America PAC, and then another organization that he created with the unbelievable name of the United States of America, Inc., They're the ones who sent people these actual checks. So you would sign the petition from America PAC, and it said that America PAC would send you a check. But the check actually came from the United States of America, Inc. People got emails that said the United States of America has money for you. So those are the defendants here, those three entities. They're going to have an opportunity to answer this complaint, and then the lawsuit will get rolling. So I would expect around Labor Day, we'll have a schedule from the court, and we'll be able to move forward.
Can somebody also then do the lawsuit that says, what state allowed you to incorporate the name United States of America Incorporated? I mean, I don't know who runs these anymore. I always thought it was every Secretary of State's office in the state, but somebody dropped the ball on that one.
Indeed, Pat, you are correct. I mean, I think we all share an intuition that it just doesn't seem like it can possibly be acceptable to incorporate and claim that you're doing business in the name of the United States of America. You'll be unsurprised to know that the answer to your question of where was that ball dropped is in the Texas Secretary of State's office.
No.
And, you know, we could either go to court in Texas and try to deal with it there, or... what we didn't want to do was make an issue of that and allow the whole case to get sucked into the federal courts. This is really an issue of Wisconsin law, and we want this resolved here in our Wisconsin courts.
Okay. There's just so many issues. I mean, I could even go off on a different tangent. I remember when Ron Johnson first ran for office, and this was, 2010, and instead of paid for by Ron Johnson for Senate, it was paid for by Johnson for Senate LLC. And I'm like, what kind of path are we wandering down here that corporations are literally running for office now? But that's a side issue. And then one other side issue, forgive me for going off on a tangent here, but when we talk about signing these quote-unquote petitions, and I want to put finger quotes around petition, because I remember when I was running for Congress in 2012, and they said, oh, we got to do these petition things. And I still have a very old-school definition of what a petition is. You know, it's to list your grievances against the government, for example. But that's not what these are. These are campaign things. They just collect your name and say, hey, we collected 110,000 signatures on this petition. It's not an actual petition. But it shows the slippery slope of first a petition is not a petition, and now a petition is something that maybe we could send you $1 or $1 million if you sign. And it is so hard as a voter to know what's a gimmick and what's not a gimmick, that the worst thing that could happen, Jeff, is that you and Law Forward aren't there to at least try to get a court to provide a little bit of clarity of what some bad actors can't do.
Well, it is very frustrating because, as you say, we think of petitions as a means of aggregating public opinion and giving it to decision makers to help guide them and help them understand what their constituents want. But these days, so often, especially online, petitions are not that. They are simply means to collect people's email addresses and, right, and text numbers. And it's just a whole shift in campaigning, as you mentioned. And some of it is constitutionally protected, but actually paying people in an effort to induce them to vote or to induce them to vote for a specific candidate, that is illegal. And we cannot allow ourselves to go down that road here in Wisconsin. No.
Cannot. Jeff Mandel from Law Forward, thank you so much. I really appreciate the information and wish you all the best in the suit.
Thank you so much.
All right. Local update is next for some of you. For others, you'll come back here for some final news and notes from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Thomas Jefferson is credited with most of the text of the Declaration of Independence, but the independence part came from a Virginian named Richard Henry Lee on June 7th, 1776.
The First Continental Congress sent a list of grievances in 1774 to King George III, among them the loss of their rights under English law, the occupation by British forces in peacetime, and the oppressive coercive acts passed by Parliament to shut down colonial unrest. The King and Parliament didn't respond other than to pass more restrictive laws. By mid-May 1776, 8 colonies supported independence, including Virginia, which directed its delegates to support independence at the Second Continental Congress. Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee, on June 7th, presented his resolution for independence to the Congress in Philadelphia, which tabled action until July 2nd. In the interim, Thomas Jefferson, with light editing by Benjamin Franklin and John Adams, crafted a statement which would become the Declaration of Independence, which included Richard Henry Lee's Independence Resolution word for word. Resolved that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved. Read the full Declaration of Independence at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Keeping you connected to your local community with good news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's Summerfest's third and final round of dates. Can you believe it? We've again made some personal picks for you to enjoy the big gig along Milwaukee's Lakeshore this holiday weekend. Let's start with the music, and some great throwbacks are playing, including Richard Marx, the band Chicago, Fountains of Wayne, even Sebastian Bach. Find the full list of artists on the more than 12 stages at summerfest.com. Friday night, Johnsonville is hosting a huge party for America's 249th birthday. Don't miss singing, cake, and fireworks to cap off the celebration. And here's what I call your new must-do. Grab a free big win ticket at the gate on Saturday. You could walk away with more money than you arrived with. $1 million up for grabs. No kidding. Wishing you a happy holiday. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol, Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
All right, one more time on that keyword in our text to win contest. Free ticket Friday for the Milwaukee Brewers. If you can go to next Friday's game with the Washington Nationals and want to be in the running for 4 tickets in the statewide contest, text the word holiday before the end of the show, just a few minutes more on the Civic Media app. Again, holiday is the key word. All right, I'm going to close with a couple of stories from the good old days. I mentioned earlier that tomorrow is our 39th wedding anniversary, and the summer of 86 was memorable for a lot of reasons. I'd graduated from UW-Eau Claire, got my first job, as you'll hear, in Rice Lake. I later had a hospital stay, and later got my first talk show. But to set it all up, you need to know that this exchange was from about a month ago, Greg Bach's last show as our early morning producer before going full-time with Matt Nair on air, which follows us at 9 a.m. Before handing things over to Parker Olson, he had to learn things like hot buttons, which are sound effects preloaded and ready to put on air at the touch of a button. So keep that in mind as Greg was talking about having our morning meteorologist on their show a little later on.
Brittany Merlot will be here, and she'll be on at 10:20 with Weather and Wine, expounding upon the weather report she gave us just earlier. But yeah, and then of course, this shouldn't be a thing at the end of the show.
I'm sorry, Weather and Wine?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, we call it because it's Brittany Merlot. We call the segment Weather and Wine.
I see. Let me give the Robert De Niro finger wag. I see what you did there. And the hot buttons are still in play. Were there, in hindsight, were there any hot buttons you didn't play during last hour's rant that you wish you could have shared with us some more?
Really couldn't make Pigeon Mama work. That's a new one.
That's for Melissa.
That's for Melissa. That's right. I would say, let me see here. I think the only one I didn't get to use was... But I'm not going to play that for long because I don't want to get hit with some sort of warning.
No, you don't. You have to let that go. Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I think I got through. Well, the only one is like, you know, this one is no swearing. So then other than that, we got them all. We got them all.
Good job. All right.
Well done.
Yeah. Thank you.
We say all this again. And wishing Greg Bach all the best in his new endeavors, which only means he's, you know, doing more elsewhere in the building.
Well said, Pat. WBA, where are you?
Your key will still work in the building. Yeah. Parker Olson will be doing this full time from 6 a.m. onward. Greg Bach joining us on Friday mornings and, of course, still every weekday morning for Matt and Air on Air. Mm-hmm. But we say all this mostly because it makes him really uncomfortable. It makes him feel like we're ushering him out the door when we are most decidedly not doing that.
That's fine. As long as I get a breakfast sandwich on the way out, I'm good.
Ooh. You get breakfast sandwiches down there?
No. Oh. I mean, I get them from places who sell them, but there's not like a hot, fresh breakfast. Could you imagine if there was a breakfast buffet here? Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
I'd be so happy.
Oh, but now I get to tell that story again. And again, apologies for folks that have heard it before, but my first radio job out of college was at what used to be WAQE up in Rice Lake. And I was a one-man newsroom up there, and the station manager said, you're now going to be doing a talk show. You're going to be doing it from Heckle's Big Steer, which was inside Cedar Mall in Rice Lake. And he said, you're going to drive down after the 7:30 news, and you're going to host a talk show there at 8 o'clock from the breakfast counter. Like, do I have to? And that's a lot of work and all that. And he's like, it'll be fun. You're going to have good guests and you're going to get breakfast out of the deal. I'm like, okay, fine. 1 month later, the boss calls me in, waves a piece of paper. What is this? And I go, I don't know. He says, it's a bill for a whole bunch of breakfasts from Big Steer. And I said, yeah, you said I could get breakfast out of the deal. He's like, I meant you could get yourself breakfast out of the deal. I'm like, no, this is now part of the deal. If I'm doing a morning talk show where I got to drive to the other side of town quickly by 8 o'clock, I'm getting breakfast at the end of it.
Let me ask you. So you only got one breakfast?
No. I got a month's worth of breakfast when the bill came.
Okay. So my point is, so this was what, the 80s, right?
This would be 1986. Yes.
1986. So if we're talking about breakfast in 1986 up north.
Yes.
What was the bill, like $14?
It was pretty low, comparatively, yes. I mean,
what a cheapskate.
No, he wasn't. He was surprised to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to imagine with a big cigar, what's this in front of me?
Oh, no. And I will never say an unkind word about my first boss there because this happened, you know, after I'd been at the station for, you know, 6 months or so. He hired me right out of college. I worked for 4 weeks and then was out for 2 months with a burst appendix with complications. Oofers. Needed three surgeries. So two paychecks, you know, two biweekly paychecks. As I'm looking at my second ever paycheck and I'm seeing how much they take out for health insurance, which again was like almost 100% coverage, not 80-20 coverage, like 100% coverage. Yeah. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, I'm young, I'm healthy, I don't need health insurance. I made a mental note to cancel it on the following Monday. On that Sunday, I got sick as a dog and eventually had the first of three surgeries and a hospital bill that, again, by 1986 standards, this was huge, $20,000. Would have completely bankrupted us. I paid $25 for the cable TV that was in my hospital room. That was it, kids. That back then, boys and girls, was when we took care of our employees. And that station manager, he could have said, you know, this isn't working out, we're letting you go or whatever. He kept my paychecks coming those 2 months while I was out.
That's amazing.
And then eventually gave me a show with free breakfast. Little did he know, which who knew it would lead to now something here where I'm doing a breakfast show, but I'm making my own damn breakfast every morning. But still... it works
because I love the idea. Like, I'm going to cancel health insurance on Monday. Ah, I got a tummy ache.
It was. I shudder at what might have happened otherwise. Yeah. It's just, yeah. So again, my eternal thanks to the good bosses out there who take care of their people. And that is going to wrap things up for this Best of Mornings powered by Up North News special Independence Day edition. Have a very happy and safe Independence Day weekend, and we will see you all next week starting Monday morning, 6 a.m., right here up north.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. On this 4th of July, President Trump will sign the massive tax and spending bill that passed the House on Thursday. Here's ABC's Perry Russum.
President Trump taking a victory lap in Iowa, calling the recently passed Big Beautiful Bill a July 4th gift to the country.
There could be no better birthday present for America than the phenomenal victory we achieved just hours ago.
The president saying the bill follows through on many of his campaign promises.
The people gave us a historic mandate to cut taxes, raise take-home pay.
The bill includes roughly $4 trillion in tax cuts. Nonpartisan groups say those cuts disproportionately help the wealthy.
Today's bill signing will feature a military flyover. Three people killed in New Jersey overnight when severe weather moved through the Northeast. Russia slamming Ukraine with hundreds of drone and missile attacks overnight. Mexican boxer Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. arrested, accused of overstaying his tourist visa and lying on his green card. This is ABC News.